Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We're bringing in Jimmy Himes to talk a little about the matchup from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. Finally, the game is here. You know, the openers for college football have been waiting all this time. How much do we find out about, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and, you know, how things are going to go in this opening game where there just seems to be so much mystery, with not a lot of info getting out there from practice?
Well, I think we'll find out a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing the improvement on this offensive line that we've heard about, where Pruitt said that one of the scrimmages recently that the offensive line was pretty much dominant, which surprises me. Given the way the offensive line has played in recent years, interested to see what happens at cornerback for Tennessee. They'll start one true freshman, maybe two, at cornerback. Interested to see the individual improvement. Is Jonathan Kongbo really made that progress that they have talked about? How many different players that have been 4 and 5 stars that I think have underachieved over the last couple of years? Have they coached them up to where they're going to be productive? There are a lot of elements of this game. The element of the unknown comes into play, but there's a lot I'll be looking for from Tennessee to see how much they might have improved in certain areas over a year ago.
You talk about some of the secondary spots. What will be toughest about defending Will Grier and what West Virginia's going to do?
Well, I just think Will Grier is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He's a first-team All-American in several by AP and others. He also threw for – he basically had – last year, 10 starts. Because I don't count Texas. He started Texas, but he played one quarter, less than a quarter before he got hurt. So in the 10 starts, he threw for almost 3,500 yards. He had 34 touchdowns. And he's got an array of outstanding receivers. David Sills, who, by the way, was offered in the 7th grade to be a quarterback at Southern Cal by Lane Kiffin many years ago. He led the nation with 18 touchdown catches last year. Gary Jennings had 97 catches. Marcus Sims averaged over 18 yards a catch, and then there's a transfer from Alabama named T.J. Simmons, who's really good. They've got a great group of receivers, a good running back. I think this offense – and the thing is that even though I think Tennessee's going to throw some different wrinkles at Will Grier, he's been around. He's such a veteran that I don't know that they could throw much at him that he hadn't seen and won't be able to adjust to. So that to me, the huge challenge for Tennessee – defensively is trying to stop the passing game. Offensively, for me, the big challenge for Tennessee is being able to run the football and not just run it a little. I mentioned this, somebody thought I was nuts. I think Tennessee's going to have to run for about 250 yards to win the game. And they said, well, how can they do that? They averaged a little over 100 last year. West Virginia gave up over 200 yards rushing the game last year. They're not very good against the run, at least they weren't last year. And so I think what Tennessee has to do is run it effectively to keep the West Virginia offense off the field. I think that's the best chance for Tennessee to win.
We're on with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. And I guess, Jimmy, for me, what does the D-line depth look like? Because, man, with this up-tempo offense, it seems like it need to do a lot of rotation. Are you prepared for that, you think?
No, Tennessee does not have a lot of depth on the defensive line. That is a big concern, and it's one of the areas where they don't have much depth. So, and you make a good point. That's going to be a big challenge because they're going to have to be chasing Will Grier all over the place. So, I think the starters for Tennessee are fine up front, and they will start, it appears, Shai Tuttle and Kyle Phillips and Alexis Johnson. But behind that, there's not a lot of depth. Lane, there just isn't. And I think that's going to be one of the concerns. They have some depth at linebacker. So I could see them having a good rotation and being pretty fresh at linebacker. But on that defensive line, that's going to be a struggle. In fact, don't be surprised if a walk-on named Paul Bain gets a lot of snaps. I just don't see much depth on that defensive line.
Man, how vital will it be for the secondary? And how many pieces to the secondary? It seems like they could play like 6 to 8 guys and not miss a beat. They're all kind of interchangeable to be effective in this game, to have a shot of winning because of the throwing of West Virginia.
Yeah, I think they'll play a lot in the secondary. They bracketed two true freshmen at one of the cornerback spots, Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson. And while Balaam Buchanan is scheduled to start, I'm told don't be shocked if two true freshmen start at the cornerback spot. And so they will play Taylor and Thompson and Buchanan and Markwell Osborne. Nigel Warrior will start at safety. Micah Abernathy at the other safety. Sean Schamberger is going to play. Todd Kelly Jr. could play. Trayvon Flowers could play. Theo Jackson. They could end up playing double digits. Defensive backs in this game. They could get to as many as 10, I think. And they may need to keep rotating. And there'll be times when Tennessee will play a nickel, maybe a dime in certain situations. So I think you'll see an awful lot of defensive backs back there. The problem is, in my opinion, by far the best defensive back is Nigel Warrior. And then for the most part, a lot of them are unproven or they have not played to the level I thought they could. And that's Mike Abernathy's not played as well as I thought he might. Todd Kelly Jr. is coming off a knee injury. I don't know how effective he'll be. I think the secondary is going to be tested a great deal by this passing attack of the Mountaineers.
Jimmy, a couple of thoughts on the Vols defense. And by the way, I love that pocket of Vols fans that are convinced they're going to win the game tomorrow, but let the dreamers dream. But, you know, when you're talking or when I hear that Pruitt is going to confuse Greer, I'm a little skeptical because there is so much inexperience on this defense that, to me, I think if they get overly sophisticated, that's where mistakes happen. And the second thing that, to me, is vital is they're going to have to tackle well tomorrow.
Yeah, that the second point, too, is a really good point. The tackling is going to have to be much improved, and they're going to have to be making a lot of tackles out in space because West Virginia does a really good job of isolating. They do a really good job of getting people out in space. The quarterback does a great job getting the ball to him. Jeremy Pruitt talked about you have to affect Will Greer, and you affect him two ways. You either sack him, putting pressure on him, or you disguise. Now, you can, as you said, get in a situation where if you throw too many things at you, you could end up making the mistakes and leaving people wide open, unguarded, etc. But I think the best chance you have is to try to throw different looks at him. And what will happen is, Tennessee will line up in a 3-4, and then they'll jump to a 4-3 because one of the linebackers might move up. Or you don't know which linebacker is going to blitz. You don't know about some of the stunts up front. So I think they'll do some of those things. They have worked a great deal on that. Are they going to be perfect at this? I doubt it. But I think they'll roll the dice a little bit to try to throw some things at Greer. Now, Greer and his coach, Holgrimson, have been around long enough to where they may be confused a little bit early in the game. I would think they have been around long enough to make those adjustments. And in fact, I think this is going to be a chess match on both sides. I think both teams, both coaches are going to be making a lot of adjustments in that first quarter before things settle down.
Jimmy, real quick on the way out, how much of a crowd do you think Tennessee has in Charlotte tomorrow?
I would say over 30,000. They sold 16,400 tickets. And so I think that they gobbled up a whole bunch of other tickets on Ticketmaster. And by the way, and I reported this weeks ago, y'all might know, if they sell 66,000 tickets for this game, each team gets a $400,000 bonus in addition to the $2.5 million guarantee. The officials over in Charlotte told us they've sold well over 60,000. They would not tell us how many. I guess they don't want to know whether they're going to be paying out that bonus.
Jimmy Himes of Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, I always think, you know, when people talk about sideline demeanor for coaches, it's always kind of an overrated thing at times. But any feel for how Jeremy Pruitt will be on the sideline? You know, a guy who, you know, it seems, you know, kind of stoic at times, but I imagine can bring the heat when he needs to. How do you think he'll be?
I think he'll bring the heat when he needs to. At practice, there's been something similar. There have been times, from what I've been told, that he's pretty calm, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and he'll jump on somebody about, you're not doing this right, or this is the effort we need, or this is what you're supposed to be doing. So I think it'll be, well, I guess it'll be a little bit Saban-like. You could see Saban on the sideline. At times he's calm, and then at times he's jumping on somebody. And what was that Lane Kiffin line that came out about how that wasn't encouragement, that was a butt-chewing?
right.
I think that we could see some of that from him. I would expect that. But I think for the most part, he's going to be try to be calm, cool, and collect on the sideline. Remember, he's calling the defensive signals. He told us that on the opening of media day when we asked him that question. He said, yeah, I'm calling the defense. So he has got to be engaged in that. And so that would require you to be less emotional during the course of the game if you have to pay attention to calling your defensive signals.
Yeah, Jimmy, man, I was reading here that the Vols offensive line will be, you know, rotating a little bit. How are we supposed to look into this? Is it just, indecision, I guess, at certain spots, or just to get the rotation in because they're going to be trying to hammer them down low and run the football?
Well, I think one thing they definitely need to do is try to build some depth. The other thing is I think that in running the football, they will try to keep some fresh bodies out there. Somebody suggested, well, if they're playing well, they'll stick with five. I don't think so. I think you'll play as many as eight. I think that you might play as many as three right tackles if Chance Hall is ready to go. You'll play Ryan Johnson and Jerome Carvin at guard. Brandon Kennedy will be at center. Jamar Johnson, Riley Locklear will be at one guard spot. Trey Smith may man left tackle. I don't know if he's ready to go a complete game, given all the health issues that he had that we know about. But I would expect him to play about eight, which I think is kind of a good sign if they feel comfortable that they have eight that are ready to go. So we'll see. But I expect them to try to rotate that and try to stay fresh, and I expect them to try to pound the rock most of the game.
I know he's not playing in the game, but J.J. Peterson, what is he waiting on the clearinghouse? It seems like everything should be a go, right? We're just waiting on the process.
On Monday, I had asked Jeremy Pruitt off to the side about that, and he told me that Peterson had completed all of his work and that they were waiting on the clearinghouse. And so today is the – and I checked with Tennessee, and Tennessee officials told me through compliance that today is the last day. He either has to get cleared today or he can't enroll at Tennessee. This is the day for you to either drop or add a class. And I don't know about any exceptions. I wasn't able to get answered all my questions, but I think this is it. Now, one thing Pruitt was frustrated by was he said he thought this thing should have been handled back in June. Why it wasn't, I don't know. Did Peterson not complete his work, or did he complete the work and not pass and then have to go take it again? I don't know all the ins and outs, but I know it's been a very frustrating situation for Peterson and for Jeremy Pruitt.
Jimmy, one of the great unknowns about this game is Tennessee's passing game. What are your expectations? What do you think we're going to see along those lines?
That's a good question. It's hard to answer that. I think that we may see some play action pass. I think you'll see the tight ends involved. I think they'll throw underneath to them. Tennessee has receivers capable of making splash plays. I do like Tennessee's talent at wide receiver. Are they going to throw it deep very much? I don't know. My guess is they'll throw some underneath and intermediate routes. They may take a shot now and then. I think that'll be rare. But I think it'll be an underneath control passing game for Garantano. And look, I'm saying Garantano, I am convinced he's going to be the starter. I would be very surprised at anything else. So I would look for a short underneath, passer-friendly type of attack from Tennessee.
And finally, Jimmy, the Heat and how Tennessee manages that with their perceived lack of depth. Pruitt's going to have to roll some guys out there just to keep his guys fresh, and some of those guys are going to be inexperienced. It'll be interesting to see how that impacts the game.
Yeah, I agree with you, because and the weather could play a factor. I've seen different reports, but if it is pretty hot and muggy, you're going to have to be rotating some people in. You're playing at 3:30, and that's going to be pretty much the heat of the day when you get out there, at least for the first half. So I'll be curious to see what he does in that regard, too. And, yes, they're going to have to send out some inexperienced players, both sides of the ball, maybe even more so on defense in the secondary. But I do think you're going to have to play a lot of people in an effort to try to stay fresh. How that impacts them, I don't know. The one thing I'll say is this. I think you'll see Tennessee give a lot of effort. I thought there were times last year, in particular after Tennessee lost to Florida, that they did not give the effort they needed to. I don't think that'll be the case against West Virginia.
He always brings the heat Monday and Fridays right here on the Wake Up Zone. Jimmy Hyams from Sports Radio WNML. Thanks so much, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.